Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Avodah Zarah, daf Mem Aleph. We are holding on daf Mem and Beis at the beginning of the third paragraph of Masechta Avodah Zarah. I want to once again thank Rabbi Wechselbaum and my brother-in-law, Michal Gewurz, for giving the shiur in my absence while I was away. And I apologize about yesterday's shiur. I know I said that I would be here, flight delays and the like, so I was unable to make it. Bez Hashem will get Avodah Zarah, daf Mem, next cycle around, Mirza Hashem. So today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, an honorable his wife and children, Elie Nishmas' mother, called by Simcha Aleha Shalom, as well as by Jeremy Lussman, in honor of his father, Dr. Mark Lussman, for recently completing Shas with the Daf Yomi over the last 7.5 years, using attending Rav Shmuel Silver's Daf Yomi Shir in Baltimore. He should be zocha to begin and finish many, many more times in good health for many years to come, and see his children and grandchildren also finish Shas many more times in all the different shiurim that they use. Today what we're going to discuss is the following. First thing we're going to talk about is which tzlamim are asur b'hana'a. A tzelem is a statue that we don't necessarily know has been used for an avodah zarah. So what kind of tzelem do you look at and say, that's not just stam doll, that's a statue, and that therefore might be asur b'hana'a. The Gemara is going to explain what exactly the machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Chum in our Mishnah is, and identify which tzlamim Rabbi Meir prohibits getting hana'a from. Then the Gemara is going to talk about a list of items that are in a statue's hand that will indicate that it's not just the statue, that it's an avodah zarah. So which items would it be holding, and what do those items represent that would indicate to you that this is meant to be a depiction of a deity rather than just stam, a nice statue that's there, linoi bi'alma. The Mishnah then on Amud Aleph is going to talk about broken pieces of a tzelem. Are those also asur b'hana'a? I mean, the first mission of the parak is about a tzelem, a complete tzelem. What if you find a broken piece of a tzelem? Do we assume that that's asur b'hana'a as well? That's going to lead the Gemara into a question of, and what about broken pieces of an avodah zarah? Again, an avodah zarah is something that we know has been worshipped. The tzelem is something that's just a statue that we might assume has been worshipped, or we might guess has been worshipped, but we do not know that for a fact. So what about broken pieces of avodah zarah? The Gemara is going to have a machlokas about the status of an avodah zarah that broke on its own, meaning it wasn't physically broken by anybody, it just some accident happened and it broke on its own. So do we assume that that's asur b'hana'a? Do we assume that that's going to be mutar b'hana'a? Because for sure the Ovid Chavim has been mevatel such the status of such an avodah zarah, couldn't even protect itself. It's probably going to make the Ovid Chavim lose confidence in its ability to protect him. That's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion of whether a safek is motzi midei vatel. When you have a safek heter, is that strong enough to solve a problem of a vaday iser? And the Gemara is going to have two rayas, whether a safek heter is enough to solve a problem of a vaday iser. So let's begin the third perek of Masechta Avodah Zarah. The perek is based on psukim in the Torah. The pasuk tells us in not this week's parasha, but next week's parasha, psilei Elohim tisrufun be'esh, that you should burn any pesel velo savito eva el beis. And you're not allowed to bring any toeva into your house. It's going to be asur b'hana'a. Pasuk also says, lo yidwa b'yad chamu uma min acherim. So the Gemara Makos Taf Chaf Beis says that from there we learn that an avodah zarah is asur b'hana'a. Multiple psukim, and that's why the Rambam in the seventh paragraph of Hilchos Avodah Zarah says that when a person gets hana'a from avodah zarah, he's lo kashtayim, because he's violated two separate los ases in the Torah. So what about something that's not a known avodah zarah? It's a tzelem. So kol tzlam masur neshein nevadin parmachas peshana divra meir. All tzlamim, and a tzelem is defined the way the Taz in Yerodeah Sim Kuf Mem Aleph defines it, is a pesel that looks like a human being or any other tzura, shar tzuros. So such things that people will worship are going to be asur because they typically are worshipped one time a year. Now this definition of the Taz is that it has to be the tzelem of a person or other tzuros. So the Sefer Eshkol and the Rav Yah point out, it's not referring to a tzura you would find on a coin. It means that the entire thing is built to be a statue, to build a tzura of something. The Meiri writes that it's dafka partzuf adam, and that's what the Bach and the Prisha understand in the Torah as well, that it's only a partzuf adam, it's only if it looks like a human being, not shar tzuros. And the Prisha says a raya that a tzela means a dmus adam is from the pasuk, ki b'tzelem el Elohim us as Adam, that Hashem made Adam with the Tzelem. Tzelem implies Adam, and the Beis Yosef makes the same deal from the Lashon of the Torah that it has to be the dmus of an Adam. The Beis Yosef goes even further, the entire body of an Adam, not just the head, not just a bust of an Adam's head, but an entire body of an Adam. However, the Taz and the Shach write that there's no nafkamina between an Adam or any other tzura. If it's the kind of thing that people are oved, then it has the din of a tzelem, and therefore the halacha of our Mishnah is going to apply. And that's what the Rambam writes in the seventh parak of Hilchos Avodah Zarah as well, that tzuros sha'asu osan la'avodah asurin, any tzura that they would make for avodah, and he does not identify specifically tzuras Adam, any tzura that they would make for avodah is going to be asur, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins as well, that Shulchan Aruch used Lashon the Rambam, that any tzura is going to be asur. And again, important to keep in mind that there's a chiluk between a tzelem and avodah zarah. Tzlamim versus Avodah Zechavim. Tzelem is, I don't know that anybody was ever Oved this. Avodah Zechavim means, I do know that someone was Oved this. So since they are Oved it one time a year, according to our mayor, it's going to be Aser. Why would they only be Oved one time a year? So this is a Machlokas Rishonim. The Rambam writes that they would wait for the sun to be in a certain position, and they would assume that that would unlock some sort of potential in this particular image, this particular Tzelem that has power to be tapped into once a year. So they would wait for that once a year when the sun is in that position that they would be Oved. The Meiri says, no, once a year they had a big festival for their primary Avodah Zarah. And when they were doing their big festival for their primary Avodah Zarah, even though Mestama they had smaller festivals and there were other times that they were worshipping their primary Avodah Zarah, but when they made their big party for their primary Avodah Zarah, they also worshipped everything else. So they also worshipped every other tzelem. So that was their opportunity to worship this tzelem. So that's Rabbi Meir. V'chamomrim eino aser ela kol sheyesh biyado makalot tzipor kador. That the only type of tzelem that's going to be aser is if it has in its hand a stick or a bird or a sphere. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer af kol sheyesh biyado kol davar. If it has anything in its hand, it doesn't have to be dafka those three items, then you know that it's going to be aser. Now, the Mishnah itself is not so easy to understand. Only Rabbi Meir holds that something that was worshipped once a year is going to be Aser Ba'anah. I mean, Rabbi Meir seems to be stating a metzius, that because it's worshipped once a year, therefore it's going to be Aser Ba'anah. And what do the Chachamim hold? They hold that even though it's worshipped once a year, it's not going to be Aser Ba'anah. It has to also be holding something? Why would that be the case? So the Gemara right away tries to explain the Machlokas, that Rabbi Meir says that all types of Tzlamim would be worshipped once a year, and it sounds like it's not a Machlokas in metzius, right? Rashi and Tosfos point out that it can't be that the Chachamim disagree whether it's Ne'evad once a year or not, because it doesn't say in the Mishnah V'chamom Menu Ne'evad El Mishish V'Demakal Chodoma. It doesn't say that only that which is holding something in his hand is Ne'evad. It says Eino Aser El Kol Sheyesh Biyado Makal, not Eino Ne'evad. So it sounds like they're agreeing to the Metzius of Rameir. Tosrid further points out, and it's not Mestaver that they'd be disagreeing about Metzius, that we very rarely have a Machlokas Tanayim that's purely Machlokas and Metzius about what the habits of the Ovdei Kochavim were. So says Gemara, Eden Avodim Pamach Pshana, my time is Rabbanan. If everyone accepts the Metzius that it was worshipped once a year, why on earth would the Rabbanan say, oh, and it also needs to be holding something in order to be Aser Ba'anah? So Rabbi Zvi Yosef, Rabbi Yochum, Mekom Asher Rameir, Rabbi Ovdei Nosav Pamach Pshana. In Rameir's location, they used to, the local Ovdei Kochavim used to worship once a year. For Rabbi Meir, the Chayish Lemiyuta, and Rameir, who in general was Choshish Lemiyuta, that led him to a tendency to be Machmir, where Gozer Shar Mekomos Atu Oso Makom, where he was Gozer other places Atu his own Makom. Meaning, the way at least Rashi seems to understand it is that since Rameir is Choshish Lemiyuta, so Rameir, since there was a Miyut of Tzlamim in his, where he lived, that they would worship once a year, not all Tzlamim, it was a Miyut of Tzlamim, so that he was Choshish Lemiyuta. So he held that midaraisa, they had to aser all of the local tzlamim because he's choshish lemiyuta, and on midrabanan they added to be gozer other places where they weren't even oveid any of the tzlamim, not even a miyuta of the tzlamim in other places once a year, but there it goes. There are other places, Atu, the place where Rabbi Meir lived. For Rabbanan, the Lochai Shilimiyut, and the Chachamim, who are not concerned with the Miyut, they view the Miyut as if it doesn't exist. They simply follow the Rove. So even in Rabbi Meir's place, where they would worship some of the Tzlamim, they would not be, they would not Aser Stam Tzelim, because you follow the Rove. So certainly, Lo Gazru Shar Makamos, Atu Osa Makom. So they're not going to be goes. There are other places, Atu, the place where they actually are Oved, some Tzlamim once a year. It's a little bit difficult to understand this line of Gemara that we just read. Meaning, we would have expected to say that they're arguing about a place where they worship some of the Tzlamim. But the Gemara takes it to, and do they then make a Gezerah about other places? And why is it that it's only Rabbi Meir's place where the, who cares which place it is? If we're anyway going to, Rabbi Meir anyway is going to expand the Isser to every place. Why does it have to be that it's Dafka because in Rabbi Meir's place, some of the Tzlamim, very, very difficult to understand, and the Rishonim struggle with this line of Gemara. I just read it based on the what I thought was the simplest reading. So I'm Rabbi Dorma Shmuel. Once we now understand somewhat the Machlok Sarmer and the Chamim, so Gemara says, which types of Tzlamim did Rabbi Meir Aser Ba'na? So I'm Rabbi Dorma Shmuel, Ba'andarti Shomalachim Shaninu. When Rabbi Meir Aser's Tzlamim Ba'na, he's talking about statues that they would make in Lekavod, their deceased kings, that they loved these kings so much, they would worship these images of their former kings as an Avodah Zarah. So Rabbi Meir was gozer on such tzlamim, even in other places, to Aser them Ba'na, so that they don't come to be matir where Rabbi Meir lived as well. But if you have other tzlamim, no one ever worshipped them, and Rabbi Meir wouldn't Aser other tzlamim Ba'na either. So Rabbi Chanan Rabbi Yochanan, Mom Din Al Pesach Medina Sheninu. Not only does Rabbi Meir aser an image of a king, he also asers, this is a question whether we should be goreis ube omdin or be omdin al pesach medina. Meaning, is this a further qualification of what Rabbi Dorma Shmuel said, that it's only a king and also only if it's positioned by the Pesach Medina, or is it a separate shita or a separate identification of a type of tzelem that's going to be aser? Then number one, any tzelem of a king is considered to be very chashuv, and they were oved that sometimes. And a second type of tzelem that they're oved is any tzelem, even if it's an image of something else, of not a king, but it's by the Pesach Medina, that that also is an indication of chashivos, and therefore they have to be worried that they were oved such a tzelem. So Amar Rabba Machlokas, the Machlokas are Meir and the Chum, and our Mishnah is Bishal Kfarim, is only if the tzelem is in a village, that a Meir holds that they are ne'evad, and therefore they're going to be also. And the Chum say that they're not ne'evad, they're just there for decorative purposes. Aval b'shal krachim, but statues that you find in big cities, divrei hakol mutar, and then everyone's going to say that's mutar ba'na, no one worships that. My time, Illinois avdilu, in big cities they have beautiful things, so they make nice statues that are purely there for decorative purposes. Even Rabbi Meir would agree that all the statues in big cities are for decorative purposes and not for avodah zaras. So frak the gemara, udikfar amikal amandi amal Illinois avdilu. Wait a second, you're telling me that the statues in villages is a machlokas. So is that true? Someone holds that village statues are there only for decorative purposes? That can't be. We know that the statues in villages are made for Avodah Zarah and not just for decorative purposes. If you want to make a distinction between statues that you can find in little villages and statues that you can find in big cities, here's how to say it. That Amar Rabba machlokas bishal krachim. The machlokas is if you find a statue in a big city around the areas where a mayor lived, that's the statues that they would worship once a year. And he was gozer to Aser Ba'na in other cities, even if they were not they didn't worship it at all, so that they not come to be matir the tzlamim in his place. And the chum were not choshesh for the miyut of the tzlamim that were nevad, and they didn't aser the tzlamim in other cities. Aval b'shal kfarim, but if it were statues in villages, divrei hakol asurim, everyone's going to hold that that's Aser Ba'na. That even the rabbanon would hold that's Aser Ba'na, because no matter where you lived, even in the place of the chachamim, the villagers always worship their statues. So then the Mishnah said, v'cham momrim ein asurim. The chum said that it's only going to be aser, the statue is only going to be aser if it's holding in its hand a makol, a tzipor, or a kadur. So the Gemara says, why dafka those things? What are they meant to symbolize? So makol shor It's the Lashon is a little confusing because since we're talking about Avodah Zarah, and we always like to speak in disrespectful terms to Avodah Zarah, so we describe it as if the Avodah Zarah is the one that is being subjugated or taken advantage of, but what we really mean to say is that the symbolism that they're aiming for is that the Avodah Zarah is doing, is the powerful one. So we'll translate it as what it means to say, that the Avodah Zarah rules over the whole world with the stick in his hand. He rules with an iron fist, and that stick represents how he rules over the world. Tzipor, and a bird is, Shetofi Satsatsmu Tachas Kolon Kulo Kitzipor. And again, it means that he grabs the whole world is in his hand, like people who grab a bird in their hand, like a bird catcher is able to grab a bird in his hand. So he's grabbing the entire world in his hand. The Torah Chaim explains why Dafke et Tzipor, because the pasuk says in Iov Tola Eretz al Blima, that the world hangs in the atmosphere, like the globe is it's not sitting on anything; it's just sort of floating there, like a bird that flies. So the bird is representative of the entire world. And he points out that the Medrash Rabbah writes that it also probably symbolizes that all of the armies of all of the world are only like a kan tzipor. It's only like a nest to him. A nest is a typical thing that's hefker, where anyone could just go and take it. So this Avodah Zarah, they're indicating that it's so powerful that he could take the whole world the way a person would just pick up a hefker bird nest. So the Talmid Rabbi Yona writes that just like a tzipor flies throughout the world, so too this Avodah Zarah rules throughout the whole world. So the tzipor in some way is representative of the fact that of the idea that this Avodah Zarah rules over the world. And kador, a sphere, a ball, shetovis tatzmutachs kolom kulu kador, that's a representative of the earth, of the planet. Tosa says, what does the flat earth have anything to do with a kador, with a ball? So Tosa writes, sha'olam agul, because you should know the earth is actually round. Kedisa b'Yerushalmi. How do I know this? Because it's Yerushalmi. That the Yerushalmi says, Alexander Smokton, Allah l'mayla, atshirak, Allah l'mukula, kador. That who do you think the first one in space was? Was it Neil Armstrong? Was it Buzz, whatever his name was? Right, it wasn't, it was Alexander Smokton. He went to outer space and he saw the earth and he saw that it was shaped like a ball, the Yerushalmi says. So that's what the kador represents, because they understood that the world was a sphere. So the Gemara brings a brisa that tells us, and it's not just these things. Tana hosifu aleh, and they added three more items that if the Avodah Zarah, if the statue is holding, it's an indication of Avodah Zarah. Sayif atara v'taba'as, a sword, a crown, and a taba'as, a signet ring. So sayif, what does the sword indicate? So meyakarasavar. Originally, they thought that that's not an indication of Avodah Zarah because they thought listen bialma, that it's just a statue of some sort. A famous bandit or something, some famous criminal who went and used to assault people or whatever. The guy that went into that building, right? That they built a statue for some criminal. Lubasov suffer, and then in the end they held shahori gesatzma tachas kolon kulo. They know that if he's holding a sayif, that it's the opposite. That he has the ability to kill the entire world with the sword in his hand. So it's mistaver that it's a type of image that they would worship. Torah, what did they think if it had a crown? Meikarasavar. Originally, they didn't include that among the Avodah Zarah, among the indicators of an Avodah Zarah, because they thought Gidil, Kalili Bialma, that it's Stam, a kind of thing that someone wears on their head. Lubasov Savar, Akatara Lamelech. But then they realized, no, it's the crown of a king, and it's like they're treating this Avodah Zarah as a king of the entire world. Taba'as, why a signet ring? Why did they originally not think it was a problem, and then they realized it was a problem? Meikarasavar. Originally, they thought that it's just like the shaliach of the one who actually has the signet ring, so who actually owns that signet, and this is a statue of the shaliach that goes and carries it around to carry out the decrees of the king. But in the end, they said that no, this is the one who has the real power to determine death for the entire world. Now, the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam is that the Ukimta of Shmuel, where he said that we're talking about an Andarti that they made the Kavod HaMelech, is within the Shita of the Chachamim, that if it doesn't hold anything in its hand, then it's going to be mutter. But if it has a stick, or it has a bird, or it has, right, so then it's going to be Asur Ba'anah. So L'chora, that means that when they added more items in a later generation, the Atara, the Taba'as, that it means the Andarti that's B'dmus HaMelech, right, Shita of Rabbeinu Tam is all of this is an Ukimta within the Andarti B'dmus HaMelech, that we're talking about a statue of the king. And Shmuel, the way Rabbeinu Tam understands that Shmuel holds, it's got to be number one, it's got to be a statue of the, and it also has to be holding these items. And then they added more items to the list. So the Ritva just asks on the Rabbeinu Tam, so how could the Gemara say that originally they thought that it's a symbol of just Tam, a bandit of a listim, of or that it's a symbol of the guy who's the shaliach of the one that has the power? If it was an indarti of the melech, it was a statue that clearly was a depiction of the king. So how could it be that they would make an andarti as a zecher to such people as well? Meaning it was an andarti of people that that they respected a great deal. So how could they have had a havamina that it was only these criminals or whatever? So he says that the Gemara is speaking b'lashon gnai, meaning it's part of the trick the Ritva writes of figuring out every description of avodah zara. That you never know what's to be taken literally and what's just the lashon gnai. So he's saying, no, it doesn't mean an actual listim. It's an andarti. It's a statue of their king. We view them as a listim, meaning we're saying, oh, come on, that guy was just a hoodlum that happened to have risen to power and taken over the throne and did terrible things. So we call him a listim. So that's what we're saying, that it actually was someone that they respected a great deal. They're trying to show how powerful he was, how wealthy he was, that he was a gibor, he was an ashir, or something like that. But but he wasn't from necessarily mizera hamalucha, but he had this these powers. That's the indicator, says the Ritva. Rav Shimon Gamliel, then we said Rav Shimon Gamliel says, it doesn't matter what he's holding. If he's holding anything in his hand, that's already an indication that it's neva. So Tana, afilu tzrar, afilu kisim. Even if he's holding just a clod of earth, or he's holding a splinter of wood, that already is an indication that it's neva. So Bayi Ravashi, tafas biyado tsoa mahu. What if he's holding excrement in his hand? According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, that no matter what it's holding in his hand, it's an indication of a deity. Really, even if it's just excrement, miyam rin kuli alma zil. Do we assume that people who are ovated assume that it's so chashuv that meaning that this is an indication that the whole world is like nothing to it, the kitzoa, that everything in the whole world in comparison to the glory of this deity is just like a bunch of tzoa? O dilma, who knew dezil ba'pe kuli alma kitzoa? Or are we saying that no, this thing is like tzoa to the entire world, and it's a way to disrespect whatever this statue indicates? So teku, so the Gemara leaves that unresolved. So now we move on to the next Mishnah. So previously, the first Mishnah spoke about the Isra'na from a full, complete tzelem. Now the Mishnah is going to discuss, what about shivrei tzlamim? So a tzelem is not an avodah zara. An avodah zara is something I know that was worshipped. A tzelem is something that maybe was worshipped, but it's just a statue. So I must say shivrei tzlamim areil mutarim. If you find a broken tzelem, then it's mutar ba'na, and the reason is because I don't know if it was ever neva to begin with, even when it was shalem. And even if it was neva when it was shalem, it could be that the guy broke it bikavana and was mevatel the avodah zara. So you have a svek sveka. Maybe it was never worshipped, it was never an avodah zara in the first place. And even if it was an avodah zara, maybe the guy was mevatel the avodah zara. Matza tavnis yad tavnis regel. If you find a full hand, an image of a hand or an image of a leg, hare elu asurin. Those are going to be asur banam and ishkiyotz ben nevad. Because there are ovdei kochavim that initially build just the tzura of a yad or just the tzura of a regel, and they worship that. And therefore, we have to be choshesh that this tavnis yad, this tavnis regel were also worshipped by the guy. Tosfos and Daf Mem and Beis raises that this Mishnah is a kasha on Rashi on the previous Mishnah, because Rashi had said that Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan are being mechadish that which Rav Meir asers all tzlamim is dafka by an andarti and by that which is omid bepesach ha-medina, because of the the chavivus of the melech. That's why they're ovid it. Now over here we say that if you find a tavnis yad or regalus asabana, sounds like you found it. What does it mean you found it? You found it in the shuk. You found it in the field. So it's not al pesach medina. So why would I be choshish you're ovid it if you hold that Rabbi Meir's shita is only if it's standing al pesach medina? So Tosos gives some sort of answer to try to answer up for Rashi. Tosos themselves disagrees. But anyway, so says Gemara now. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says not only are tzlamim that are suffic whether they were nevad or not, it's a suffic whether they were ever even nevad when they were shalem, are the broken tzlamim mutar bana, but I think there should be avos chavim, even broken pieces of things that we know were in avod zara are mutar bana, because an avod zara that's broken is no longer going to be worshipped. The guy is mistama mevatalit from being an avod zara. What do you mean? But it said in the Mishnah, Shivrei Tzlamim, if it were true that even Shivrei Avod Chavim is Mutar Bana, why didn't the Mishnah say that? That would have been an even bigger Chiddush to tell me that Shivrei Avod Chavim are Mutar Bana. So it says Gemara, no. Who didn't have the Shivrei Avod Chavim? Ein Achinami. It's true of Shivrei Avod Zara as well that they're also Mutar Bana. V'adik Tani Shivrei Tzlamim, the reason it says Shivrei Tzlamim, Mishnah Dekabai the Mishnah Seifa, because the Seifa wanted to introduce Mutzah Tavnas Yat Tavnas Regal, Arei Lasurin, Mishnah Kiyotzi Ben Nevad, that a tavnas yad, a tavnas regal is aser. So that din of the sefer, if we would have only been speaking about shivrei avodah zara, I would have thought that that din of the sefer is only about shivrei avodah zara, but that shivrei tzlamim, where it's of tavnas yad or a tavnas regal, I would have assumed is going to be mutar bana. So that's why the Mishnah wants to say dafka shivrei tzlamim, to tell me that even though it's only a tzelem, if it's a full tavnas yad or a tavnas regal, it's going to be aser bana. Now why would I assume that a tavnas yad or a tavnas regal of a tzelem is going to be mutter ba'ana, whereas tavnas yad or tavnas regal of an avod zara is going to be aser ba'ana? So the way Rashi seems to understand is that that when it's avod zara, we're choshish that maybe the guy was not mevatel as such a significant portion of the avod zara, and therefore it's going to be aser. But when it's the yad or the regal of a tzelem, so there's a suffix, maybe the guy was never mevatel this shever, but there's an additional suffix that it could be that this tzelem was never neva to begin with. So that's a svek sveka lahatir. So that's why it has to tell me shivrei tzlamim or mutter, to tell me that if it's a tavnas yad or tavnas regal, it's still going to be aser. Tosfos understands the havamina differently. Why would I have thought to be matir tavnas yad or tavnas regal of a tzelem? Why would I have thought to be matir ba'na? Because there's a svara to say that dafka tavnas yad or regal, which is broken off of an avod zara, is aser, because when it was shalem, they worshipped it so many times that minastam, at some point, someone worshipped just the hand or just the leg of it as well. So the hand or the leg was like an independent avodah zara. But a tzelem is worshipped once a year. It's not worshipped so many times. So probably the hand or the leg on its own was never an independent avodah zara. That's how Tosfos Dibrei Paskul Amar Shmuel seems to understand. So now the Gemara explains, why is it tavnas yad or tavnas regal asur? So tznan matzah tavnas yad tavnas regal areilu asur neshekiyotzi bo nevad, because there are such things that are nevad that just are the image of a hand or the image of a leg. Amai, so ask the Gemara, why are they aser bana? So what that it's kiyotze bo nevad? Vashvarim ninu, this tavnas yad or tavnas regal was not built this way. It's clearly a shever, it's a broken piece. So why would we aser it? So tirgum shmuel ba omdin al basisan, that the Mishnah must be talking about a tavnas yad or a tavnas regal that was placed on a pedestal. So since the guy placed it on a pedestal, that's an indication that it's still being treated with great respect and perhaps even as a deity. So itmar avos chamshin So now we move on to a different discussion. We discussed a tzelem that broke. We discussed an avodah zara that broke. What that was broken, or a broken piece that was found. What if you know how it broke and it broke on its own? An avodah zara that was nishtabra me'eleha. So that's a machlokas amaram. Rabbi Yochanan amar asurim, Rabbi Shimon lakshom muteres. Rabbi Yochanan says that's going to be asur b'ana. Rabbi Shimon lakshom says it's going to be mutar b'ana. Rabbi Yochanan amar asura dahalo batla. Rabbi Yochanan is going to say it's also about now because no one was ever mevatel the avodah zara, meaning it broke on its own. When a guy comes in, he smashes his avodah zara, so he's being mevatel the avodah zara. But if it breaks on its own, no one was ever mevatel the avodah zara. Mishnah the Melech is not sure in Mishnah Melech in the Yetberg of avodah zara whether Rabbi Yochanan asks avodah zara that broke on its own mitin vaday, that minastam the guy was not mevatel the shever, or even Rabbi Yochanan's moda that it could be that the guy was mevatel the avodah zara, but it's not clear clear. We don't have a raya, and therefore we didn't suffek. He's going to aser that which broke on its own. So Rabbi Kiveger's matmiya on this Mishnah Lemelech. Rabbi Kiveger says, how can the Mishnah Lemelech be mesupak whether Rabbi Yochanan asers b'toras vade or b'toras suffek without mentioning that it's a beferish machlokas rishonim, that there's a tosos right here in the sugya mem beizam rav dibra maskel suffek that says that the svara of Rabbi Yochanan is that that the suffek of maybe the guy was mevatelit is not motzi midei the vade iser that we know that it was once worshipped. So clearly he holds that it's midin suffek. And the Ran says beferish that the svara of Rabbi Yochanan is that minastam the guy was not mevatel the shivrei avodah zarah. So it sounds like it's b'toras vadei. So it's machlokas rishonim. What's the Mishnah Lemelech mesupak about? Okay, but Rabbi Yochanan says that an avodah zarah that broke on its own is not batel and therefore is aser banar. Rabbi Shimon Lakish amar muteres mistama betulei maftila that it's mutter if it broke on its own. You can bet that the Ovid Chavim was mevatel it because any reasonable Ovid Chavim will say to himself, Meimar amar e nafshalo atzalu gavra matzalei. It couldn't even protect itself. Now it's going to protect me, so I need to find a new avodah zarah. If I put my faith in this avodah zarah that can't even protect itself, then it's certainly not going to be able to protect me. So Rabbi Yochanan asks on Reish Lakish from a pasuk in Navi. Rabbi Yochanan challenges Reish Lakish twice. So challenge number one: Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Lakish. There's a ma'isa that's mentioned about the Aron Elokim that the Plishtim were able to capture in the Melchama with the Jewish people. And what did they do with this Aron? They put it next to their Pesel Dagon. They put it next to their avodah zarah. Dagon was an avodah zarah that was in some way representative of a fish. The Ravid writes that the Plishtim were oved the mazel dagim, so the pestle was called dagon because it had a tzura of a dag. The Radak on Shmuel Aleph says that it was like a mermaid. It was like half fish, half human. That was the image of this this pestle. So the pasuk says in Sefer Shmuel Aleph that they woke up the next morning and dagon had fallen on the ground and verosh dagon ushtei kapos yadav krusos and it was beheaded and its two hands were cut off and they found the head and the two hands on the miftan abayis on the doorstep. So Ksiv and the pasuk says al kain lo yidruchu kane dagon. So they now treated they wouldn't step on that threshold anymore. So you see that it was broken. It broke on its own and they wouldn't step on the threshold. But isn't that a kasha on Reish Lakish? Once it broke on its own, Reish Lakish holds the guy is automatically mevatel it. Apparently these guys were mevatel their avodah zarah. So amalo misham raya. You try to bring a raya from there. Hasam shemanichin es hadagon va'ovdin es hamiftan damri hachi shavke isari lidagon va'ase esiv le'al miftan. They were no longer worshipping Dagon. They were now worshipping the threshold. That's why they wouldn't step on the threshold. They figured the power were transferred from Dagon to the threshold, and that's how the threshold was able to grab pieces of Dagon. So esiv. So Rabbi Yochanan challenges Reish Lakish a second time. This time from our Mishnah. Motzi shivrit slam areil mutarin. That if you find shivrit slam in their mutar ba'ana. Now what's the chiddush? According to the Chachamim, even slamim that are shalim are mutar ba'ana. Certainly shivrit slamim. So it must be that the whole chiddush is not in the halacha that is stated, but in the diuk. Hashivrei avodos kochavim asurin. That you're supposed to make a diuk that shivrei avodos zara are going to be asur. Because the halacha itself, if you assume like the Chacham that even itselim shalim is mutar ba'ana, obviously shivrei slamim are going to be mutar ba'ana. Says Gemara, who says we're assuming like the Chachamim? Lo teim shivrei avodos kochavim asurin. Ela ema hatzlamatzman asurin. Ustamak Rabbi Meir. Our Mishnah says that shivrei slamim are mutar ba'ana because it's working within Stamish Rabbi Meir. We're working within Shitas Rabbi Meir that the full tzelem is going to be aser b'ana. So it's telling us, and if it's a broken tzelem, it's a mutar b'ana. Rabbi Yochanan, who asks on Reish Lakish from our Mishnah, is moda that according to Rabbi Meir, the tzelem is going to be aser. So nevertheless, shivrei tzelem miyolds are mutar midir Rabbi Meir nishmul drabanan. So from the sheet of Rabbi Meir about tzelemim stam, we can learn the sheet of the chum about tzelemim that have a makal or a tzipar where the chum are moda that they're going to be aser. After all, lav amar Rabbi Meir tzelem asur and shivrei tzelem mutarin. Rabbi Meir holds that a tzelem shalim is going to be aser, but a broken tzelem is going to be mutar. And therefore, lirabanan, according to the Rabbanan, a tzelem that's holding a stick or a bird or a sphere is going to be aser. Avod zchav nami, he asur shvara mutarin. Broken such images should be mutar. And therefore, isn't that a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan holds that avod zar is a break on their own are aser? So it says, no, hachi ashta. You cannot compare the two things. A stam tzelem, according to our mayor, is aser, and the broken pieces are mutter, where you can't compare that to an avodah zarah that was nishbar, because you could make the following chilek. Hasam, when it comes to a stam tzelem, emer avadim, emer lo avadim, you don't know that it was ever worshipped. And imtim tzelem avadim, emer bitlum. And if it was worshipped, then it could be that after it broke, the guy was mevatel it. But avodos kochavim, but if you know that something was already treated like an avodah zara, it's the kind of thing that's holding a stick, a sphere, a bird, right? So you know it's treated like an avodah zara. Avodos kochavim vaday avadua. So you know that it was worshipped. Mi emer debatla, and it's only one suffix where they mevatel it when it broke. You have a vaday yisur, you have a suffix solution to that yisur, a suffix heter on that vaday yisur. The suffix heter is not going to address the vaday yisur. Says Gemara, whoa, suffix heter doesn't address the vaday yisur? Let's talk about that a little bit. So Gemara is going to give two examples of where we have a vaday problem and a suffix heter, and whether a suffix motzimin de vaday. Vein suffix motzimin de vaday, does a suffix heter not solve a vaday yisur? Vatanya, but we have a bride. So then chaver shemes, if you have a chaver, someone who's known to be trusted in Trumas Maestros, and he drops dead, Tosus writes out, he drops dead, and he was expecting to die. He was ill, he was on his death, but it wasn't like very sudden. And that's based on Yerushalmi that says that way. Because if it was very, the whole assumption is that we're going to work with the assumption, probably he was mafresh as Trumas Maestros, because he wouldn't have left this world with all these peros behind that he wasn't mafresh Trumas Maestros from. Well, if he wasn't planning on leaving this world, then he might have, right? If he was just ran out to get, you know, to get some milk from the, you know, from the makolet, and he got hit by a truck, right? So he wasn't planning on dying that day. So that's what the Yerushalmi says, and Tosfos quotes from the Yerushalmi that it must be that he died b'shalom, and everything, he knew exactly what was going on. The Meiri says, well, I don't know. The Bavli never says that. The Bavli just says shemes. So the Bavli must be working with the assumption he wouldn't go out to buy milk until he took care of his Trumas Maestros. Meaning that would be the very first thing he does. He wouldn't take a step without it. Okay, so you have a chaver shemes v'niach magura malei peros, and he leaves this warehouse full of peros. Afilu in b'nei yoman, even though we know that they only had a gemar malacha that very day. Harein b'cheskas mesukanim. You're allowed to assume trumas and maestros have been taken from them. V'ahacha devadei tevili. But over here we know that it's tevel savik asrunu savik lo asrunu. It's a savik whether maestros were taken. V'kasi savik motzim devadei. And apparently we're allowed that the suffix is going to solve the vaday problem. The suffix meiser is going to solve the vaday problem. So if you have shivrei avodah zara, even though it was vaday asur, it was vaday avodah zara, why does Rabbi Yochanan think the fact that it's broken is not enough to solve that problem? It's at least a suffix that the Ovid Chavim was mevatalit. Says, well, no. Hasam vaday vadehu. That's not a case of suffix and vaday. That's a vaday and vaday. The vaday asrinu. A chaver was for sure ma'asik. It's Rabbi Chanina Chazah. Dam Rabbi Chanina Chazah. Chazak al chaver shein motzi davar shein musukum mitachz yado. We have a chazaka that a chaver would never motzi mitachz. We never let anything leave his head unless it's been taken care of already. But Yeshua wonders what even the hava amina of the raya is. Because after all, if we're talking about peros, we're talking about maisos, that are things that are only chayiv and maisos midrabanan. Peros ilan are not chayiv midaraisa. They're only chayiv midrabanan. So what? You're going to tell me that a suffix solution solves a vaday problem midrabanan? So what's the havamina that's going to prove about an issur d'oraisa like avodah zara? So the other achronim point out that they're not even sure what the Pnei Yeshua is asking. The word peros in Shas doesn't mean peros ilan. It means grain. It means that peros can mean anything. It can mean grapes. It can mean all the things that are chayiv in Trumas Maestros midaraisa as well. Or we could say suffix v'suffixu, that this isn't a case of a suffix in vaday. It's a case of a suffix problem as well. Because it could be that it never became real tevel, because maybe they did like Raboshia. That people would sometimes bring in their produce in a way where it's not going to have a gemar malacha before seeing the pnei abayis, so it's never going to be real tevel, and therefore it's never going to be. And they would do that in order to be able to feed their animals from this tevel and be pater from meiser, because tevua that has a gemar malacha halacha that didn't have a rias pnei abayus is mutar b'achila min haTorah without taking maisos. The chamasu that you're not allowed to eat in achilas keva because they allowed eating in achilas arai. But a behema, it's always considered an achilas arai, and therefore you're not allowed to feed the behema. So since there's a suffix that maybe the chaver did this very same thing, and it was before the gemara malach of the peros, so the peros are really only suffix tevel. So it's a suffix. Maybe he was ma'aser that which was only a suffix tevel to begin with. So that's not a suffix being motzi midei vaday. That's only suffix being motzi midei suffix. But when it comes to an avodah zarah that you know was vaday nevad and it's broken, so it was a suffix whether you solve that problem. Ain suffix motzi midei vaday. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll begin with the next raya of the Gemara of whether suffix is motzi midei vaday. Everyone have a great day.